There's a preacher that had a meeting here in Birmingham recently. He lives in Texas. His name is Chris Emerson. And like the Chris Brewer that had our meeting, his name is spelled with a K, which is unusual, really. And this Chris Emerson in Texas, his parents were not Christians when he was born. And he was named after Kris Kristofferson, their favorite singer. And some of you that are younger have to go look it up on the internet to see who he was, because I don't think he's done any. I don't know if he's still alive, but his two younger brothers named Joshua and Caleb. So what happened between the time that Chris was born and Joshua and Caleb were born? Well, his parents had a change of heart, that his parents became Christians, and so Joshua and Caleb are names that people would want to be associated with. And when we read about Joshua and Caleb, we remember their names because of the dedication that they had. We remember how they were described by God and how it's pointed out the faith that they had. So in our text today in Numbers chapter 14, verse 24, says that my servant Caleb has a different spirit and has followed me wholly. You know, what a great phrase, what a great statement to be said about anybody. Certainly we would want that to be said about us. And so that's our theme for our lesson today, is that he had a different spirit and followed me wholly. His attitude, his spirit, his heart, you had something that was a lot different than others at the time. So a great statement that was made about him as he was looking to go into the promised land. Let's back up a little bit and understand why Caleb could have these things said about him. In Numbers chapter 13, we're going to skip around a little bit here in the book of Numbers and in Joshua this evening. Numbers chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. Caleb was one of the 12 spies that went in to spy out the land of Canaan. It was a land that God had already promised them would be theirs. Verse 1 says, "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the people of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, every one a chief among them.' So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran according to the command of the Lord, all of them men who were heads of the people of Israel." So they were sent to spy out the land, and Joshua and Caleb were among this number. And of course, we've mentioned before, you don't remember the others' names, but they are mentioned here in the text, the ten that were not faithful. And if we skip ahead to verse 16, I believe. Verse 16 says, "From the tribe of Gad..." verse 16. "These were the names of the men whom Moses sent to spout the land, and Moses called Hoshea, the son of Nun, Joshua." So also among those spies was Joshua and, of course, Caleb. And skip ahead to verse 25. "At the end of 40 days, they returned from spying out the land, and they came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the people of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. And they brought back the word to them and all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him, 'We came to the land which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. However, the people who dwell in it are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the Negeb. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the hill country, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the Jordan.' But Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it.' Then the men who had gone up with him said, 'We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.' So they brought to the people of Israel a bad report of the land that they had spied out, saying, 'The land through which we have gone to spy out is the land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people that we saw in it are of great height.'" And so you see here they return with what you would think would be good news right there at the beginning. We spied out the land. It is good, exactly like God said. Here's some of the fruit. The bad thing is we're not going to get any of the fruit. This is the people in there are are huge. And so, you know, there's good things and there's bad things, and we're going to let the bad things get in the way of the good things, is basically the message. Caleb was the one that stood up to lead the people in the way that God had laid out. And he is about 40 years old at this time. The other 10 spies, they lacked faith, they lacked courage, and they lacked strength and gave that bad report. And guess who the people decided to follow? Let's look, chapter 14. Then the congregation raised a loud cry, and the people wept that night. Why did they weep? Why were they crying? Because of who they were listening to. They were listening to Caleb. They wouldn't have any reason to weep. Verse 2, and all the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The whole congregation said to them, would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in the wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and little ones will become prey. Would it not be better for us to go back to Egypt? Of course, this issue of grumbling is a recurring theme with the people of Israel and always gets them into trouble. But the people grumbled, they wouldn't go. Joshua and Caleb were trying to bring focus back to where it should be. As we move on here to verse 6, it says, Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who spied out the land, tore their clothes and said to all the congregation of the people of Israel, the land which we passed through to spy it out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, He will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. How many times do you wonder if these people that Joshua and Caleb are pleading with, that we can take it, we can do it. And of course, they end up not listening to them. If they ever look back at this and say, you know, I remember what they said, and so we're wandering in the wilderness, I really wish that we had listened to Joshua and Caleb. They rent their clothes, and you know, sometimes in a movie you see somebody that's hysterical and somebody just grabs them by the shoulders, or sometimes they slap them upside the face. You know, get a hold of yourself. Listen. And that's the picture I get here, that they are pleading, that they are frustrated with these unbelieving people because they've seen everything that God can do. They have seen God bring them out of the land of Egypt, out of slavery and captivity. And they're up at the threshold of being able to take what God has given them, and the people won't believe. In fact, it says, after Joshua and Caleb pled with them, then they began to pick up stones. Then all the congregation said to stone them with stones, but the glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of meeting to all the people of Israel. And so they did not end up stoning Joshua and Caleb. But they did end up rejecting them. And it says that God was very angry. And it was probably the worst 40-year punishment in history. Over 600,000 soldiers died, including the 10 spies that gave the bad reports. But God spared Joshua and Caleb. Let's read on in verse 30. Well, I want to back up just a little bit. Look at verse 26. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, how long shall this wicked congregation grumble against me? I've heard the grumblings of all the people of Israel, which they grumble against me. Say to them, as I live, declares the Lord, what you have said in my hearing I will do to you. Your dead bodies shall fall in this wilderness. So what God is saying is, You claim that you're going to die in the wilderness, that you've been brought out to die in the wilderness. That's what's going to happen. Exactly what you said is going to happen is now going to happen. And all of your number listed in the census from 20 years old and upward who have grumbled against me, not one shall come into the land which I swore that I would make you dwell, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. If I were not Joshua and Caleb, I would not be real happy about that news. But why did God spare their life? Because verse 24 says, Caleb is one that served me fully. He followed the Lord fully. That's why Caleb's life was spared. And let's jump ahead to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 14. What we see here is now Caleb is an old man. And what's being said about him now? Has Caleb changed? Is his outlook on life different? Has he fallen away? Has he become one of the grumblers? Let's look. Verse 7, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. But my brothers who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Yet I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land on which your foot has trodden will be an inheritance for you and your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. So Caleb still has the same spirit that he did 40 years ago. He's still wanting to follow the Lord. And let's look at verse 13. Then Joshua blessed him, and he gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Therefore Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord, the God of Israel. So Caleb was consistent in the way that he lived. He followed the Lord when he was a spy. 40 years later, he's still following the Lord, and those good things are said about him, and he is enjoying that inheritance from the Lord. So all his life he holds to integrity, and he received the promise. And so, of course, the obvious lesson for us is that we need to do the same thing. We need to trust the Lord with all our heart. This is what made Caleb different. Everything he saw with his eyes, he was seeing it through, I guess you could say, God-colored glasses, because he knew that they could take the land. And the others somehow forgot about that. Everything he saw with his eyes was subject to what he believed about God from his heart. How long had it been at the point that Joshua and Caleb went in to spy out the land? How long had it been since they walked through the Red Sea on dry land? It was about a year. He was there. He knew what God could do, and certainly that wasn't the only thing that he saw that God could do. He remembered that in his mind and in his heart. He also trusted God. In chapter 14, verses 6 through 10, when Joshua and Caleb try to bring the focus back to God and what God could do, he's saying, I trust God, you should trust God. And how different was this? Well, it was totally different than what most of the people were following at that time. What we have to do is we have to trust the Lord with all our heart, even when other people around us are not. And that would have been difficult. That is difficult. I can't claim to trust God, and then when challenges arise, that I forget about everything that's happened before. I forget about all His previous works and His previous promises. But that's what a lot of the people did. When murmuring and complaining arose, when challenges arose, they said, we'd be better off in Egypt. They forgot what God did, and they really forgot what Egypt was like too. Doesn't seem like they remembered much of anything. Some of you have heard of Warren Berkley. He's an evangelist, and he actually has done some good writing. And he travels around and does some teaching on evangelism. And the lesson that I heard on evangelism that he presented, he said, you have evangelism classes, and you talk about methods, and that's what a lot of times you do in evangelism classes. People want to know, well, how do you do it? And he said, it's not so much about how you do it, but it's about wanting to do it. That if people want to do it, the how doesn't really matter a whole lot. Methods are important, but they only matter if you have a passion for God and you have a passion for the gospel and that you have a love for souls. And that's true in every part of our life. We have to have passion for God. We say that we believe, we say that we trust, we say that we love God, we say that we love each other. But when that's really true, it comes out in the things that we do. Joshua and Caleb's trust and love for God was evident in their life because they didn't follow after the crowd. God had their heart and continued to have their heart throughout their life. So Caleb trusted the Lord with all his heart. He also is said to have served the Lord through all his days. Don't know everything about what Caleb did during that time, but we certainly do know enough to know that he was pleasing to God. And if all we knew about Caleb was that he took a stand after spying out the land, we could certainly make this great point that he trusted in the Lord with all his heart. You know, but what really makes him more unique is that we can see that God said he followed me fully, and that we can look at the end of his life and it's still saying that he followed God fully. He was faithful to God over time. And that's really important. That's important for all of us. Caleb was just a young man of 40 when he was asked to go and spy out the land. I can remember thinking 40 was old. I don't anymore. Caleb was a young man of 40. And he makes this passionate plea that's not heeded. But now when he's older, probably about 85, he is still anxious to do what he can do. Let's look over in Joshua chapter 14 once again, starting in verse 6 through verse 12. Joshua chapter 14, starting in verse 6. Then the people of Judah came to Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, in Kadesh Barnea concerning me and you. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. But my brothers who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, yet I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, 'Surely the land on which your foot has trodden will be an inheritance for you and your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God.' And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, just as he said, these 45 years since the time the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel walked in the wilderness. And now, behold, I am this day 85 years old. I am still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. My strength now is as the strength was then, for war and for going and coming. So now give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day how the Anakim were there with great fortified cities. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out as the Lord has said." I don't know about you, but that kind of gives me chills when I read it. Because, I mean, he's 85. I'm thinking, can he really do what he's saying? Is he really on the Jack LaLanne program and really able to have the strength at 85 that he did when he's 40? Whether or not he's really as strong as he used to be, he certainly thinks that he is. And he knows who is on his side. And that's what's important. He is ready, just as ready at 85 to do God's will as he was at 40. And it's not a pride thing, because he says, "Perhaps the Lord will be with me." It's not about, "Well, I've been working out for 45 years. He says, "The Lord will be with me." It is faith. And he puts his full faith in God. And it's not subject to age. And that's something that we need to remember. You know, I've heard somebody say, if you can breathe, you can serve. There are things that you can do. Let's flip over to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Of course, Paul is encouraging Timothy as a young man. Paul is near the end of his life when he writes these letters to Timothy. And Timothy is the one that Paul wants to encourage to keep carrying the gospel. He tells Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, "Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech and conduct, in love and faith and in purity." So Timothy couldn't say, "Well, I'm too young. Nobody will listen to me." I've heard kids say that before, young men say that. I don't have any influence. There's nothing that I can do. There's nothing that I can say that anybody's going to listen to. Paul's telling Timothy, don't let anybody despise your youth. Stand up for the truth. But also, on the other side of the page, people may say, "Well, I'm too old. I can't do anything because I'm too old." Titus chapter 2, verse 1 says, "But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith and love and in steadfastness. Older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled." And so here, Titus is told that those that are old need to carry their weight. They need to do things. They don't need to say, "Well, my time has passed. Nobody's going to listen to me." Those that are older have something to share. Those that are younger have things to share as well. And those that are middle-aged too. So anybody can do well for God occasionally and make excuses for the rest of their time. But Caleb was not like that. Again, it says he had a different spirit and he followed the Lord halfway. Now it says that he followed the Lord fully. Fully, and that's what we need to do. Also, he served the Lord, obeying the Lord among all obstacles. And I mean among all obstacles because there were a bunch among him. Caleb's faith was proven through testing. The road from Egypt to Canaan was a long and winding one. It wasn't an easy one. So what are some of the things that stood in the way? Well, we see that there are unbelievers among you that don't want to believe that God will keep His promises. There are people that are cowardly, so we can't do it. There are people that are violent because they say, "We're going to take up stones and we're going to stone you." And certainly there were punishments from God throughout this period of time. This whole wilderness wandering was a punishment. And it's lengthy and certainly a time for sorrow. And he's also getting old. But Caleb's response as he gets older is, I'm ready. As long as God is with me, I'm ready. Because he knows when it comes to God that victory doesn't really depend on the adversary. What do I mean? I've been thinking about this in a discussion with a friend of mine who said that as he gets older, he realizes that he still has the same temptations and same problems. And I said, that's because the devil doesn't ever give up. The devil doesn't ever stop. And if we're waiting for that to happen, I understand that with good practice, that things become easier in a lot of areas of our life. That we can remove ourselves from areas of temptation. And not, if we remove things that may be visual, if we remove friends that lead us in the wrong direction, certainly we can make those temptations more manageable by our own wisdom, and we can make it worse by our own foolishness. But the point is, if we're waiting for the enemy to give up, then we're waiting for something that's not going to happen. If I'm waiting for that kind of thing to go away, it's not. Living fully for God is not about the devil and the world and flesh or all these other obstacles in the path. That's common for everybody. What we need to realize is that that victory means that I believe that my side is stronger. And Joshua and Caleb believed that. They believed that their side was stronger than all the obstacles. And so if I stand with God, now He's going to get me home. He's going to get me to the promised land. And it's a great thing when we read about Caleb almost getting there. He says, I'm so excited. I'm just as strong as I was when I was here last time. And I'm ready to go in. And you know, when you read about Caleb, sometimes it might remind you of Paul, because Paul was one that really seemed to have that spirit also. He followed the Lord fully. And when he got to the end of his life, as he's writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy, I've kept the fight, I've finished the race, I've kept the faith. He is doing exactly what Caleb did. He's trying to serve the Lord with all his heart and to have a different spirit. So there will be struggles, and there will be enemies, and there may be those that you thought were your friends that turn out not to be so friendly. But we have to remember, like Caleb did, there's a path and there's a destination, and that God is with him. Also, I want to share one other thing that Warren Berkeley said in one of his devotional materials. I thought it was really great. It's really common sense when you think about it. But sometimes common sense isn't so common. Everything that the Bible says about discipleship is daily. It is not about the idea of having a different spirit and following the Lord fully. Yeah, we can have that idea. And it's not about the goal of trusting God with all of your heart. Is that a good goal? Yes, it is. It's not about the promise to serve the Lord at every age and every stage of life. And it's not about the hope that you can keep pushing forward in the face of obstacles. What is it about if it's not about those things? It's about today. It's about today. It's saying that on this day, I am going to be a different spirit. Today I'm going to believe what God has done for me, and I'm going to remember that. And today, at whatever age I am, whether I'm young or old, or think that I'm young and I'm old, or if I'm old and think I'm young, I'm going to be the most faithful and fruit-bearing Christian that I can at this time in my life. And I'm not going to get stopped by people or things along the way. I'll expect those things and I'll overcome. I know you probably think, well, that's a bunch of this positive mental attitude mumbo-jumbo. But is it? Isn't that what Caleb did? Caleb walked every day in the wilderness. But when he got to the end of the journey and came into the promised land, the reason he was able to go in is because every day he kept doing what he needed to do to be pleasing to God. And sometimes people take missteps. But I'm always reminded of what Mark says about the women coming to the tomb and the message from the angel saying, go tell his disciples and Peter. Because Peter had messed up. All that had to be said was tell his disciples. Peter was included in that group. Peter had messed up, but God was saying, Peter, I hadn't given up on you. Get back up and keep going. And those that make missteps have to get back on track like Peter did. And make a resolve every day that I'm going to do what God says. And so what will God say about me when I reach the end of my life? That Randy was my child and he had a different spirit and followed me fully. Is that what he'll say about me? Well, that depends on what I do every day. It depends on what you do every day. There are a lot of people that name their children Joshua and Caleb. And I wish every one of them that was named that, you know, had the same spirit that Joshua and Caleb did. That doesn't always happen. But certainly you can see why somebody would look at their example and say, you know, that's the example that I would like for my kids to be. I'd like for my kids to grow up and be like that Joshua and Caleb. You don't hear many kids being named Jezebel or Ahab. I guess you do in some countries. But you don't hear these other names. I can't even tell you without looking it up what the names of the other 10 spies are. Nobody names their kids after them. It's Joshua and Caleb that are the examples because they followed the Lord fully. Let's do that and let's make sure that every day that we are trying to follow the Lord fully. If we can help you in any way to do that, you want to respond to the invitation tonight, we'd invite you to come while we stand and sing.